Let's pray. Lord in heaven, we come to you this time. Lord, we're thankful for this opportunity that we can come and have an opportunity to learn more about how to spread your word through using visual aids and helping our young people to grow up, to have a respect and a knowledge of you. We're thankful for this opportunity to gather as women and to have this fellowship together. We're thankful for Focal Points and the gospel meetings, and we hope that we can continue to grow and learn more about you. Thank you for the many blessings that you've blessed us with. Thank you for Christ and his sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. That makes it easier for me to start out with a prayer. I thank you so much for being here again. Thank you, the Universal Church, for having this. It is absolutely wonderful. I can't believe, know that Paula has spoke here, and there's so much more people to come. Isn't that great? I'm so glad to see that Catherine and Lisa are speaking this year. There should be one more on this program. But hopefully next year, because she has tremendous talent in this area. And, of course, a little prejudice, there's a note that I feel like she'll be speaking on this. And been asked, but maybe eventually she will. But I just want to thank y'all for being here, and I hope you can take something home with you that you can use in your classroom. Last year, Wayne asked me to speak on building a successful Bible class program. And those of it, you were here, of you that were here, do you remember anything of what we talked about? I know I'm putting you on the spot. But we talked about to build a successful program, it took what? It took our elders. It took sound teaching. It took teachers. It took parents. And this is one of the most important things. We don't have our parents behind our teachers, it's hard to teach, isn't it? And it took the members, all of the members, to build a successful Bible class program. So this year, Wayne asked me to talk about creative teaching. And I know that there are some excellent Bible class teachers in here. I'm kind of feeling adequate. But hopefully I can share some things with you that will help you be a better Bible class teacher. God bless the teacher. God bless the teacher of the Bible school who leads us to follow the golden rule and to walk in the straight and narrow way, preparing us for the final day. Her task is one that's hard and demanding. It can be done with faith and understanding. Her tools are the Bible, prayer, and love, through which she leads to heaven above. The hours she spends in this great path are more than most would give if asked. And the responsibility she gladly bears would make others fall if her task were theirs. Her work is one that seldom prays, her salary for her is never raised. But when life is o'er and her work is done, a crown of life she will have won. That was a poem written by Paul Sane, and I thought that was very appropriate for this class. You know, in life, every occupation or everything we do in life has special tools. If you're a nurse, is there some special tool you have to be a nurse? If you're a carpenter, there are special tools. A surgeon, would you want to go in and do surgery on you if you didn't have the right tools? Anything in life that we think about has to have a tool to be able to do the work properly. Of course, our number one tool is what for Bible teaching? Our Bibles. But one tool I feel like that we don't take advantage of like we should, and that's the tool of visual aids. There are a lot of reasons to use visual aids, but I just want to mention a couple to you. First of all, Jesus used visual aids. What about the parables that he taught? The things that they taught every day, he used them to teach with. And when he called the children to him, remember when he called the children to him, he said, let the children come to me, and then he said, except you become as one of these little ones, you're not entering into the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus used tools, visuals, I'm sorry. There's another person who uses visuals, and he uses visuals every day in our life. Who do you think that would be? Satan. He uses visuals by radio, TV, games, clothes, and you know, sometimes by us as Christians, he uses visuals by the way we act and the things we say, things we do. But another reason that it's great to use visual aids is because the children will remember 15% of what they hear, and 85, can y'all see that? And 85% of what they see. And even if this is a stretch, and you hack it in two, you get 7.5 of what they hear, and 43.5 of what they, 42.5. of what they see. So you still have an enormous amount of difference in here. And so we want, when we're teaching our children, and we only have, 35, 40 minutes in a class, twice a week, we need to try to instill in them as much as possible in the little time that we have. So that's the reason that we use visual aids. Now, the reason this is so important to me is because who knows if I will be teaching my future grandsons in love or granddaughter in love. One day it may come to me. He may come to me and say, "Will you talk to me?" And they may be marrying my grandchildren. And that is very important to me. And they don't want to think about that right now. But we've got almost a 16-year-old in our bunch now. And so that's very close to our hearts. Kelly says, no. But you're going to have to accept that one day. In about at least 10 years, you'll probably be headed that way. So I may be teaching them, and I want them to have the best training that they can have. And I feel like you can do that with visuals. Now, a couple of things I'd like to talk before we get into the visuals is I always make a must-do list of things that I need to do for my clients. And this is just some of the things that I feel like that helps me have a better eye with clients. One is pray each day for my clients. And pray for them by name. Mention them by name. Help me if I have certain problems with a certain child, to help me to overcome that problem or understand that child better. To study and know my lesson. Have my lesson prepared before I go into class. You would not believe some of the teachers that walk into class and have never looked at their lesson. They may not even know what they're studying until they pick up the book when they go into class. That's not acceptable. Have our worksheets, our crafts, our visuals, and our songs ready before we go to class. I've seen where people will come to class and they'll say, can you watch the kids? I gotta go run this off, I gotta go copy this, I gotta go make sure I have this. And the discipline, I don't know if y'all have ever had that problem, but the discipline is out of control when you have something like that. Decorate your room before class, before the quarter starts. Make sure that your children have a list of what they're going to learn for that quarter ahead of time. We've encouraged them, and I think they do. I know I always send out a letter to the parents or grandparents before the quarter starts. And in my letter I put, I thank them for allowing me to teach their children. I talk about how important teaching is. I tell them what we're going to cover and what the quarter, when the quarter starts and when the quarter ends. I ask them for help what we're doing is the car is engraving heavenly truth, and they have to know about anywhere from 5 to 10 cards a week. And I always tell the parents, the class time is not the time to come in and learn the cards, but the time to learn the cards is when you're at home. We just need to come in and be able to teach. And so I ask them for their help and helping me teach them as much as I can. And so I just go through and just try to tell them everything that's going to go on in class. I also tell them that at the end of class, end of the quarter, they'll be rewarded for the ones that know their cards. And I also put in there very boldly, if your children do not know the cards, they will not be rewarded. I know that sounds harsh, but it's not fair for the ones that don't learn to get the same thing the ones that do learn. And ladies, we reward our children for everything, school, for sports, for everything, and we should reward them for learning the Bible. Not that that's what's the only thing they should do it for, but that's a motivator. Now, that's some of the must-do list. I'm sure y'all have other things, but that's some things that I try to do for my clients. Now I'd like to talk just a few minutes about preparing our rooms. The first thing that needs to be prepared is our doors. We need to have a welcoming door. If you want to see the cutest door that I've seen in a while, go around here to the three-year-old classroom that's got the aisles on it. Say, you can't get it. Say, that's what I'm saying. She needs to be up here. It's awesome. I'm going to take a picture of it. That's going to be my next door when I get home and then I teach next quarter. But that invites the kids. It makes them excited when they see the door. They want to come in and they know that they're going to have a time of fun in a good way. And they're going to be able to learn a lot with a good environment. And that's just welcoming. So we need to have a welcoming door. Also on the door, especially larger congregations, I just want to make sure they put the age on there. Because if you have visitors that come in and they don't know where to go, if the parents could just take them around and they'll know which classroom they go in. We're not that big, so I usually try to look around and see if I see any new people, and I'll take them. That's a good thing, too. But if you have an age on there and you have visitors come in, they'll know and they'll feel more comfortable about going. Also, decorate your bulletin boards. There's a lot of things, a lot of ways you can decorate a bulletin board. You can decorate it with attendance charts. You can decorate it with the lesson that you're studying for the quarter. Just whatever you want to. I know that a lot of places don't want you to put stuff on the wall. We put stuff on our wall, and Wayne allowed me to put stuff up here. I hope that it's okay. If not, he's in trouble. But that, to walk into a room that's filled with visuals, it excites the kids. If you don't believe it, just do it and you'll find out. So when we first moved to Houma, the children had never had the rooms decorated, I don't guess, and so I just went really all out. And they were just bringing their parents in here saying, oh, look what she's got, and showing them everything. So it's exciting, and I have 4th, 5th, and 6th grade. So it doesn't matter how old they are, they love it. You might have something in your room like maps. I've got a map here and a map here. Because when you talk about the different places, just like Wayne was doing, what is it, Bible, whatever, what was it, what do y'all call that?
Fact finders,
okay. And he was talking about John the Baptist. He talked about baby Jesus being born. And where was baby Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
And you can just go and just pick up a little picture of Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Who baptized Jesus? Where did he preach? He preached in the wilderness of Judea. So you can just add some pictures to it. That's a little bit more detailed thing, but it's hard to add pictures to it, especially when you've got younger kids, they can understand the pictures, not the words. So if you mix the words with the pictures, it makes it easier for them to understand. On your bulletin boards, you can put something like this. I don't have a lot with me because I didn't know we were going to be in a room like this. But just talk about the Bible, about things with the Bible. Then this right here keeps falling down. Maggie's taped it. I think we got taped all over the place. We didn't want to staple into the poster. But this is an activity board. And what I would do is when we review, I would ask a question, and if I asked them a question, and if they get the question right, they get to put a piece of the puzzle on there. And we build our wall. And where was Bethlehem born? Where was Jesus born?
Bethlehem.
Okay. And then she would go over there and find the piece of the puzzle and put it together. And when we got through, we'd have a colored wall rather than just a brown wall. Huh? Okay. This right here would be the take-home if we were studying, and this is a good one for the walls of Jericho. You can also, on the pieces, since it's laminated, you can write a memory verse on it and have the kids, each child have a puzzle piece, and they have to put the memory verse together, which would go in order of the wall, and then you can send something like this home with them. They can cut it out and put it together at home. They can do different things, but this, Hannah just thought y'all had to have this copy of this. So I didn't bring copies this year, but Hannah just thought y'all had to have this copy, so she went and did the best she could with the copies, because I told her, I said, it's not going to copy, baby, it's colored, but it copied pretty good, so if you'd like a copy of it, you're welcome to it. I blew this up on the projector, and then before I took the copy out, I did the pieces where to make sure they fit. Don't move your projector before you do your pieces, or you'll be in trouble. But that's just how I did that, and I laminated this. And I know that last night the girls were saying, how'd you laminate something that big? But all you do is fold it in two, half in two, and send it through, and then you just cut it and open it back up. You can see the fold right here. Now the back of it, you can fold it back the other way and send it in the other way if you want to, but since that's the back and I don't stick anything on it, I didn't laminate the back of it. But you can do it. You can laminate it all around. So, if y'all want those, you're welcome to them. But I just would put this on the projector, blow it up to the size I want it, and then, but this is a great memory verse, or card, fact. It's great for anything. Anything hands-on, the kids love it, and they feel a part of it. You might can get a little bit lighter when you copy it again, but...
We can make some
more copies to put in. Before I go into any of the other vehicles, I'd like to pass these out. These are websites where I've gone to get a lot of pictures and a lot of activities. And I know everybody's always searching for that. Now, I want to tell you up front, the secretary of the church typed this up for me. I emailed her some stuff, and she typed this up for me, and she has on a few of them, denominational sites, be careful, but I say, I don't know how many of them are denominational sites, more than not, but I'm not going on for the words, I'm going on for the pictures. So just remember that. Do not use their wording. use their pictures. And they have some excellent pictures. And I'm fixing to show you some of the things that I've gotten off some of these websites. How many homeschoolers do I have in here? Wow, that's great. Well, this is good for homeschooling. I think that's what the website is for, but they also have Bible stuff in it. And I love this website. I just found it. So I just threw a couple of them together before I came. Well, I've had some to show, but they're called lap books. How many of you have done lap books in homeschooling? They're wonderful, aren't they? I love them. And you can do them for Bible class. And this is one on prayer that I found. And it is really a cute book, and you can do it in black and white, or you can do it in color. So for your kids, you would want to do it in black and white, because I had 13 kids in my class. We're the biggest class, and the rest of them had like 3 and 4, but this was just a big age group. So I would use up all my ink for one class. But this is my prayer flat book that the kids would make, and I just made some little pockets. This is, says, how can I pray? And it just, I honor him when I pray. I call him Father and Lord. And talk to them about, you know, approach him as daddy or he's a big man in the sky. Or, I mean, I have heard all kinds of things. You respect and honor God when you pray to him. You pray for his plan, which would be the church. Thank him for the church. How much we appreciate what he did. And sending his son. You pray for our daily blessing. And you give him glory and honor. And it's just and then over here it's a little song. And the kids make this themselves. You can have an example for them and they make it. And here's a little song about prayer. And it's to the tune of Hunting We Will Go. Very simple. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. That's how God does it. To pray, we pray in Jesus' name, and then we finish with amen, first we pray in Jesus' name and finish with amen, just very simple, just come thing to time, and I've done a lap book or two for first, second, third grade, they love it, and so I believe that even older ones would like it if you just adapted it to their age. Then this little pocket here, they cut their little pictures out, and I can pray at night. It's just a little picture of a girl playing at night. I know they're little, but they're for the kids. It's like an old fashioned light book like we used to have. I guess I never knew of a light book until I found that. Pray for our food. We can pray at church. And then I put on here, and I made up my own with it. I don't know what they have on it, but, and then we pray all the time. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And then in my other little pocket I have here, pray for who? Who do we pray for? And this I did on my own. It wasn't on the thing, but you can do it. A lot of stuff I like to do on computer because it's quicker and easier. And I can put black lines, big black lines around it and just zip through it and cut it because I'm so picky about my studying. But we pray for our elders. And that's just a little clip art of some little people that I found out. And it's one of the websites on there that you can find the clip art. We pray for our friends, and it's just little cards, for our Bible classes, for our moms and dads, for our church family, for our food, for forgiveness. for our preacher. For our country. For our soldiers. And for our Bibles. And so and then it may take them a couple of weeks to do this, but it would be something that you could work on and maybe do an activity each week until you got your book finished. And when you got it finished, then they have it to take home and look at and play with. So that's one of the things that I found on the website was the lap book. Whether you've got one or you've got 13, they're great. Also, I found some, I know we've all heard of file folder games. And this is a good file folder game, and you can copy these and cover because you only want one. And this is just on the treasures, it just talks about different treasures. I'm not going to go into a lot of it, but I just want to show you some things that I found. This one is another lap book on the Bible. And it's just activities that pertain to the Bible. And like I said, you do it in black and white, and that way you wouldn't waste your ink. And just different activities. I made this two folders because it was so much of it. But anyway, this is a good way to have hands-on with the kids. Something else that I did with my last class, because I've had so many in my age group of first graders to third graders, so you had some that could not read at all because they just promoted and they just going into the first grade. And then you had some that read very well. And so it was really a discipline problem, big time. With 13 kids in a really small classroom, probably half the size of this one. And so I racked my brain forever, and I thought I was going to have to beat some kids, but I ashamed of myself. I decided all the kids love scrapbooking. I thought, that's what I can do. Even boys like scrapbooking. So that's what we did. I like scrapbooking. And they loved it. The discipline, I had no problems anymore because they were busy. And so what we did was I just did everything I could in black and white. Now remember, I had to cut out for 13 kids every week, so I had to do 14 to be able to make sure I had an extra one if we had a visitor. But I just started with Hannah, and these are in our cards, and that's the reason I'm doing this. And I had gotten some material from Shane Kay from the resource room here that had just little square pictures in it. So they were easy to cut out. And so we started with Hannah, and I talked about Hannah couldn't have children. She loved her husband very much, and she wanted a child with him. And every year they would go to Shiloh to worship because they loved God, too. And you can see the little footprints. I added a few little things. And Hannah was praying, and we talked, and we just told the story. And then as I told the story, they glued their little pictures on. When we got through, I would go back and say, okay, now you tell me the story from your pictures. And it worked out so good, and they were so excited, and they said, oh, Miss Kathy, please teach us next quarter. And I said, not in this one. But I said, not this quarter. That's all I did was just scrapbook pages, and they absolutely loved it. I was so excited. Now, the 4, 5, and 6-year-olds are doing it now. And of course, guess who's doing most of it? But they do have two good teachers in there that, if you want to look at this lady, you can. So we did some New Testament stuff. And so I'm doing pictures for them and they're putting it together. But we started out with a New Testament survey is what it was. I mean, a New Testament book by book. And we just started out with 27 books in the New Testament, 4 Gospels. And then one of the stories that was in Matthew, Luke, and Matthew and Luke 2, Matthew and Luke 3, the stories that were there. Then this is one that we did on joy. And all I did, and most of this stuff is on the computer. I did sit this on the computer and I have a Cricut. And if anybody doesn't have one and does something like this, it's awesome. And I just did a little smiley face and talk about joy. Of course, we always hear Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And then for the ones that couldn't read, then we just did little pictures beside it to explain more detail what it was. And so that is something that's awesome so far. And I plan on doing it for teach them again. And we're going to teach on the church, so that's a good thing. I think they'll have a good overall picture of the church once we get through scrapbook here. This is another thing you can do in class. It's an activity book. Just put them in sleeves. And they can take them home. They can put, you know, the whiteboard markers. Use that, and then they can erase it and do it time after time. And at the end of the quarter, they'll have a whole activity book that they can take home. And I got this from Sarah Ritchie years ago. I don't know if anybody's ever been to Sarah Ritchie's class, but she is really good. So this is something else that you can do with your kids. This is another website, real quick, that I use. It's called Philip Martin. They have awesome pictures on it. I love these pictures. And these are writers of the New Testament. And Matthew and Mark, and what I did is put pictures were for the young ones, and then I could just tell them a name and pointed the arrows to who was who. And then underneath, I just have the books that they wrote. And that's just a good learning too. But I got that off, these pictures off the internet, and I think they're so good. And under each one, one of my, Edward said, did you get all Paul's books on there? Did you get on that little square? And I said, yes, there they are. But anyway, that's a good website there. And it's got music pictures in it, Bible pictures in it, and it's got a lot of clip art.
Which
website? Philip Martin.
It's on the sheet.
It's on the sheet. All of the lab books, all that is on that sheet that I passed out. Now, the visual aid. I know I talked some about making visual aids last year, and I'm not going to go into this time because we don't have a lot of time.
6 minutes.
My word. Okay. This is ridiculous. Okay. All right, girls. My helpers. Now, see, this is almost 16-year-olds, almost 13-year-olds that are so enthused about these vehicles. Maggie's going to take over, she says, when I quit. And I said, well, when I die, you can have all my stuff. And I don't want you to die. But they're going to put a puzzle together. This is something you can do, something that really gets them involved, gets them motivated, wanting to be a part of it. They put it together so they know what it is now. But when they put it together, they had it all over, and they said, we know what it is. So anything that's interactive with the kids are awesome. And all that was just a ask the right paper with, you'll see what's written on it when they get it together. And, magnet. This is a magnet board.
Okay.
And actually you can get these small magnetic boards at Sam's for about $15. Now the easels cost twice as much as the magnet board. Now these are my easels. Wayne was nice about going and getting me a couple of whiteboards.
Are those, can those same boards be used as those markers, like a marker?
Yes, with both. Yeah. So that's, what is that?
Great.
The graces, eight graces. And then what I did was just put them, made the letters, and then cut them into puzzle pieces and wrote the different graces on them. And for older kids, it's outstanding. Anything like that. I've also got one over here. With the sit down and put that one together. That one's a little beautiful. But I have pictures and words on this one. So, and you'll see what it is when they put it together. This vision right here was made probably a couple of years ago, but it's just a big Bible. And you know, we study story after story, and I think sometimes forget to stress that where in the Bible it comes from, like what book of the Bible, and where in the Bible do we go to find it. So that was my aim for this particular visual. And I just, the stories that we're studying are in the Old Testament. And this story comes from 1 Kings. And then I have four different pictures on the story. And then this story comes from 2 Kings. And of course, it would be one story per time. And then I would have four different pictures. And then we may study something else from 2 Kings in this. All this is just Bible and color book pictures of different Bible stories. And you can usually find at least four pictures on the thing. So that was the aim of that lesson. All right. There you go. There's the puzzle. So.
How many hours a week do you think you make it?
You don't want to know.
It is labor intensive. It's very effective.
It definitely is. But once you do your research, that's where most of your time comes in. Like researching, and that's the reason I wanted to give you the website, because I have, over about the past year, I've collected all these websites about, you know, everybody doesn't have to do that. I've already done this work, you know. And I probably spend a couple hours, not every night, but probably 3 nights a week, at least a couple hours. And I sit in front of the TV as I'm watching TV and I'm studying, you know, or I'm coloring. You know, things like that. Yeah, it takes time. But, you know, God expects us to take time.
Mm-hmm. One thing when you invest time in a nice visual aid, you keep it and reuse it year after year.
That's exactly right. You know, it's not something you're going to, you know, put through, unless you're somebody I used to work with that was a school teacher, and she just zapped it up and it was nothing for her. And I said, okay, well, are we going to keep this for the time being? She said, I'll just chunk it. I'm going to do another one. I said, oh, no. You might be doing another one, but I'm keeping it. And I do keep my vehicles and set them myself. I do not mind people borrowing my vehicles. I hate to say that because I have not gotten some knives that I have made. But, you know, I don't want them to be set there. I want them to be used. The church has allowed me a classroom because we don't have... we have one extra classroom, and they've allowed me to store my visuals in there. And I tell them, you can use it, let me go in with you, and I'll know what you have out and where I need to come and get it back. Because, yes, it definitely takes a lot of time. And I know that everybody does it. I work 3 days a week, too. So, you know, it's not like I sit at home and do nothing. And, of course, everybody, even if they don't work, they have a lot of things going on. But, you know, the Lord expects us to put time and effort into His work. You know, if our kids have a school project, how many hours sometimes do we spend on that school project? Hours, weeks. You know, if we can do that for school projects, we can sure do that for the Lord. So, yes.
You're not an effective teacher if you don't burn in a midnight oil. And I burn a lot of midnight oil.
Yeah, I'm sure we all have. You're welcome to come up and look at these videos and see.
I don't have a classroom. So we don't allow it. It's not necessarily allowed that we don't.
They don't allow you to put stuff on the wall?
I have a couple of things that the group has put. I have a poster with the Bible on them, and I have a poster with that information that there's not room. There's
not room, okay.
And then to the road. You know, the road is going to be closed.
And close them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
that way. Yeah. Although, you know, the science boards that they have, you can do some the science boards, you know, decorate them, put them up, and then you're able to take those down. You can get bulletin boards and just maybe put them on easels like this and just, you know, put them around. So, you know, there are a lot of things, but Kelly had a good one because I've come going to doing workshops. Some of the churches did not want to put stuff on the wall, so I've had to hang from the ceiling and, you know, string and close down to the
another thing would be a string. You know, the folding string, not trying to
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, those boards that, you know, follow it.
I've got one in the car.
I've got one here somewhere. Yeah, right here. I've got one right here. And you can get them. You can get them in
some of the visuals, but just for reminder, the family class is next, and it'll be in the auditorium.
Right, this right here. And so they can sit on the table. And they come in all different colors. And sometimes Michael's will have them on really cheap. So, and they're not expensive, so it would be something good. And then when you get through, you can just fold it up and use it for the next time you use that product.